Amen. And then he got to his house. His wife was against it. She was an Independent Baptist. She's against it. Amen. She said, I saw you down there acting like a fool. Amen. And he said, listen, God chose me before your father's house to make me king over Israel forever. Therefore, will I play before the Lord. That's what it is. It's playing in church. We always tell our kids not to do it. But it's okay to play. He said, I played before the Lord. It was, he said, that stuff I was doing is playing. And I wasn't doing it for you. I was doing it for the Lord. Don't get worried. I'm not going to do it. Some of y'all right now in pins and needles. I hope he don't start running. No, we're going to work on smiling right now. Are you saved? You ought to notify your face. Amen. The night I got saved, I was smiling. Amen. I was so glad to be saved. And you know what I thought? I thought everybody's going to get saved after this because I'm going to tell them. I mean, they don't know about this. I found out later that some of them did and they didn't want it. Amen. But I'm glad to be saved. Somebody mentioned this years ago. I say the other day, brother, my kids say, Dad, that was 40 years ago. The other day. Somebody says, oh, you're one of those happy Baptists. Like they were slamming me. I took it like a badge. I said, yeah, I'm one of them happy Baptists. Let me ask you a question. All those people that carry on in church and all that stuff, and their doctrine, they don't even know if they're saved or not. And they don't even know if they can keep it if they are. And they're hooping and hollering about that. We know we're saved forever. We have eternal security, and we're sitting on our hands. We ought to be the one washing windows. I'm telling you what right now. Amen. Yeah. I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. I'm one of them happy Baptists. Wilt thou not revive us again that the people may rejoice in thee? We need revival because we need some smiling people. I think it's a lot easier to win people to God when you got a smile on your face. Amen. Wilt thou not revive us what? Again. Let's turn to Romans chapter 7. Would you do that with me, please? Turn to Romans chapter 7. What's it talking about being revived again? Well, my first revival took place May 19th, 1970. That's when I got saved. You say, that's not revival. That's coming alive the first time. No, that's not right. Look in Romans chapter 7, verse 9. For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. What's it talking about, preacher? Talking about when you're a little kid. Little kids go to heaven when they die because they're alive. Their spirit's alive. They go to heaven. I heard this testimony last week. I've never heard it. I know it's in the Bible, but I've never heard it. And the guy wasn't even talking about this, but he said, I talked to the Lord and walked with the Lord and wanted to do whatever he wanted me to do, and he was talking to me. He said, but I stole something at a store when I was 7 or 8 years old. And he said, and after that, I had no interest. And God never talked to me. That's when the commandment came. That's when he became a sinner. And that's when his spirit died. So far as I can tell in here, all of us had gone past that point. We're accountable to God for our sins. If you're not born again, you need to be born again. You need to have that first revival. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Hope you don't mind looking at a couple of verses anyway. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And it says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. So that's what salvation is. It's when God quickens you, when God brings you back to life, when God revives you. When I was 18 years old, I experienced my first revival. I was dead in trespasses and in sins. I went to a youth revival on a Tuesday night. 18-year-old kid, why do 18-year-old boys go to church? Girls, amen. Amen. I went to a new church, so that meant new girls, amen. I got there late. I couldn't meet anybody till after church, so I sat down by myself, and I had to listen to the message. Of course, I was a Baptist. Amen. Baptist, once saved, always saved. You know what? You got to get saved first before that kicks in. And I always trusted that once saved, always saved, because I prayed a prayer when I was eight years old. I wasn't saved. I got worse. And so that preacher's preaching on heaven. He's preaching about the pearly gate and the street of gold and the walls of jasper and all that. And I said, yeah, all Baptists are going to go there and see that all. Then he mentioned a book. He said, there's a book in heaven called the Lamb's Book of Life, and if your name is not written in that book, you're not being in heaven. And the Holy Spirit said, your name is not in that book. That's called conviction. Your name is not in that book. You're not saved. Now, I'm not talking about I started doubting my salvation and, did I pray the right prayer when I was little? Did I know what I was doing? None of those thoughts ever went through my mind. The Holy Spirit said, your name is not in that book. You're lost. So for the rest of the service, I know what Baptists do. They have invitations, and I'm thinking, they need to hurry up because I need to get saved. And they got to the end of that service, and the choir started singing a song, brother, I've never heard before. I had never heard up to that point. The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? Oh, God was just tearing me up. And that preacher said, if you'll just come to Jesus, he'll save you. Now, we understand we can't literally, he's not there bodily, but I knew what he's talking about. So when he said that in my heart, I said, I'm coming. And I got born again. I got saved. I went from darkness to light. I went from death to life. Amen. I was resurrected. Amen. I was a new man in Christ Jesus. How? By saying yes to him. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made into salvation. When I said yes to Jesus Christ, he saved me. You say, it can't be that easy. Why would the God that's not willing that any should perish make it hard? He didn't make it hard. He made it easy. He wants a lot of kids. And he got this one. Amen. And you say, well, did you pray? After it, I did. Yeah, I prayed afterwards. But when I said yes in my seat to Jesus Christ, that's when I got saved. You say, I don't believe that can happen. I know. If I'd walked up the aisle and tripped on the carpet and broke my neck and died, that's it. Bless his heart. He died and went to hell coming to Jesus. And my heart, I'd already come to Jesus back there. That's where I got saved. You say, you mean you can get saved just by believing? I think that's what the Bible says to do to be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now I understand, and we understand it's not just a head thing. I mean, when you date your check, 2012, you're admitting that there was a Christ. But it's a heart thing. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In other words, when they put that brass snake of not pole in the Old Testament, and they've been bitten by snakes, if they looked at that brass snake, they were healed. He said, just in that same manner, they lifted up Jesus Christ on the pole, and if you look at him in faith, you're saved. That's how I got resurrected. That's how I got new life in me. That was my first revival when I got saved. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had that first revival? It's a pretty traumatic thing. You probably remember it. Amen. I heard a lady say, well, I guess I've always been saved. No, you haven't always been saved, because we were without the commandment once, but sin revived and we died. There has to be a time when you went from darkness to light. When did that happen? Has it taken place in your heart, in your life? Are you saved? after that, wilt thou not revive us again? After a while of the world and the flesh and the devil and all the other things that get involved in a person's life, sin creeps in. And you get away from the Lord. You're not as excited about the Lord as you once was. You know, when I first got saved, my pastor never preached a dud. When I first got saved, the song service was always great. When I first got saved, I didn't know any hypocrites in the church. Everybody in the church were good people. When I first got saved, Sunday school class, my Sunday school teacher was great. Always preached, always taught great lessons. When I first got saved, the youth activities we had were all great. I mean, we had fun when I first got saved. But after a while, I matured in the Lord. Got to where I could critique messages and critique lives and inspect fruit. You know what happened? I needed revival. The hardest part of getting saved is getting lost, and the hardest part of getting revived is admitting that you really need it. Can't get saved, you get lost. You can't get revived unless you realize you need it. Getting revived is an act of God. There's so many similarities between salvation and revival. You have to humble yourself. It's an act of God. God has to do it, all those things. But there's one difference between salvation and revival. In salvation, God is the pursuing party. God chases after us. God's been chasing sinners for years, trying to get sinners saved. I mean, that's how God sends tracts, God sends prayers, God sends the soul winner, God sends the preacher, God sends somebody to invite you to church, God's after you, and finally you get saved. In revival, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, are y'all thinking with me? In revival, if my people will humble themselves. All right, so far, how much has God done in this thing? Nothing. He said, if they'll humble themselves, if my people will pray, what's God done so far in this revival process? What's he done? Nothing. God's people have humbled themselves. They prayed. If my people will seek my face, what's God done so far? Haven't done a thing. And turn from their wicked ways. What's God? Oh, he's getting ready to do something now. After God's people humble themselves and pray and seek his face, turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sins and I'll heal their land. Now we're talking about revival. It's an act of God. God has to do it. But you know who starts it? We do. We do. If you want revival, you better get busy. My people have to pray, humble themselves, pray, seek his face, turn from their wicked ways before God does the first thing. In the Bible, there were two storms on the Sea of Galilee that was recorded. One, Jesus was in the boat with the disciples, and they said, "Care us not that we perish." In the other account, Jesus told them to get in the boat and meet him on the other side. He wasn't actually on the boat with them. And the storm comes. And they were fearful for their lives. And Jesus came walking on the water. Now, if you read that, he didn't come out to bail them out. He didn't come out to rescue them. He just came walking on the water. Didn't see that he offered any help. He didn't offer any suggestions. He was just out there walking on the water. To me, it looked like a stroll. And so when they sing, one says, "It's the Lord." And the other one says, "No, it's his spirit." And they're going back and forth about who it is. And the Bible says, and he would have passed them by. You ever read that? He would have passed him by. Let me ask you a question. If the Bible says he would have passed him by, would he have passed him by? He would have passed him by. And Peter said, Lord! Jesus stops and says, oh, hey. He stops. What happened? They got his attention. You might have to get his attention. You might have to let him know, it's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister. I don't know anybody needs it more than me. It's me, oh Lord. Lord, I need you. I need revival. You might have to get his attention. It might take a demonstration on your part to let him know that you really, really want revival in your heart. He would have passed him by. We sing this song for invitations, and we think about lost people. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Hey, Christian, he might pass you by. Don't let him. Get his attention. This last illustration will close. This was after the resurrection. Jesus was walking on the road to Emmaus and meets up with two disciples. And he begins to join with them and begin to talk. And he said, how come you guys are so sad? They said, you haven't heard? I talked about Jesus being crucified. He said, Messiah. He was our Messiah, but he did all these wonderful works and he was crucified. And Jesus said all these things not to have happened. And he began with the book of Moses, began to explain to them out of the Bible how it should have happened. And boy, they were just having a good time of fellowship around the Word of God. And they got to their destinations. And the Bible says he made as though he would have gone farther. He made as though he would have gone farther. You think Jesus would enjoy being with those disciples? You think he wanted to stay with them? But he made as though he would have gone farther. And the Bible says, and they compel him to stay. They compel him to stay. Compel, brother, means sometimes you grab them. They said, listen, what's your hurry? You don't have to go anywhere. I mean, what's your schedule? I mean, you got a bus to catch or something? Stay with us. Now, we like hanging with you. We like when you open the Word of God. No, you're not going anywhere. You're staying with us. They compel him. That's what it means. They compel him to stay with them. You might need to compel him. Revival is an act of God. God is the one who has to turn us. But it has to be our idea. If my people will humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from your wicked ways. Lord! Come on, Lord. You got to. I mean, listen, you got to give me revival. You might have to compel him. Kind of sounds like you're serious when you get like that. Kind of feels like you're convinced yourself that you need revival when you get like that. And God says, all right. And God works. All right, from now on, I'm just going to have joy. From now on, go ahead and say it all you want to. If God doesn't do anything, you're not getting it. All right, from now on, I'm just going to have peace, and from now on, I'm just going to have joy. From now on, I'm going to get in that Bible, and I'm just going to be excited. Not unless God turns you, you're not. It's an act of God. But if you need that, he's for it, but you've got to start it. In salvation, he was chasing after you. In revival, you've got to get chasing after him. I chased after her unmercifully. She ran. She made fun of me. Tennessee hick, you know. And she ran. And just when it looked like I was going to stop chasing her, she let me catch her. Hey, you get to chasing after him, he'll let you catch him. But you need to look like you're sincerely trying to catch him. She knew I sincerely was trying to catch her. Amen. I mean, I wasn't humble at all. I mean, I wasn't proud at all. I did everything I could do. Worked. Amen. Wilt thou not revive us again, that the people may rejoice in thee? Father, we love you and appreciate you. I pray for somebody here that's not experienced that first revival, that today will be the